Our sermon today picks up from where we heard John read from Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 21. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Thank you, God, for the treasure of your word. I remember one time when I was a little girl growing up on 222nd Street in the Bronx. 222nd Street is a really long block. Well, it seemed like a really long block to a little girl. One day, a friend and I took a walk down the block from Bronxwood Avenue to Barnes Avenue looking for treasure. Well, not a treasure chest full of gold and silver, but just stuff that appealed to our eyes that we found on the sidewalks and in the gutter. A shiny rock, a pretty leaf, an acorn, a buckeye. Yes, you can find treasures like that, even on a street in the Bronx. At the end of the block, we sorted our treasures and placed them under a bush at someone's house for safekeeping. We decided we'd go on another treasure hunt tomorrow and add to our store. As we arranged our piles, we pretended we were being interviewed by a reporter from the New York Daily News. We shared what had motivated us to pick a particular thing, and we said we hoped we would be able to hang on to all these wonderful treasures for the rest of our lives. I told my friend I would get both of us one of my uncle's empty cigar boxes, and we could keep our treasures in them. The next day, we went back to that bush where we had stashed our stuff, and guess what? It was gone. Every bit of it. We were appalled. Apparently, someone else thought our treasures were trash and they just threw them away. That kind of daunted us. We never went treasure hunting down 222nd Street again. What was the use if we were going to work so hard and look so carefully, only to have someone else unceremoniously throw our treasures away? Maybe we should have hidden them better. And as we learned, one person's treasure is another person's junk. What if a reporter from the New York Daily News came up to you and asked you about your treasures? What would you say? What do you treasure? What are you hoarding and hiding? Would you talk about your family, about your children and grandchildren? Would you talk about your house, how you found it, how you decorated it, how you take care of it? Would you point to your car, or would you emphasize other possessions you have? I don't think Jesus faults us for having things. We know our friends and families are blessings from God. We appreciate and are grateful for a warm house, a reliable car, things that make life a little easier. The underlying caveat is to be aware of how these blessings came to you and to acknowledge God's providence and care, that God has given all these things you treasure to you. So no, there's nothing wrong with material possessions as long as you don't let them go to your head or start thinking you got them all on your own. Jesus also admonishes us to remember cars and houses and boats will age and break down and eventually disappear. And there will come a day when we will go away and leave all the tangibles behind us. We can take none of them with us to heaven. There's a joke about a man who, before he died, converted all his cash into gold bars and instructed his wife to put them in the attic so on his way to heaven, he could grab them and take them up there with him. His wife did so. After he died, she went up to the attic and voila, there were all those gold bars just sitting there. The wife shook her head and said, "Oh, that old fool, I knew he should have put them in the basement." My mother was fond of reminding us we brought nothing into this world and we for sure can take nothing out. And that's absolutely right. None of the tangible material things we have amassed during our lives can leave with us when we go to our final rest. But according to Jesus, there are some things we can take with us, or better, things that we are already sending heavenward that await us until we get there. First and foremost are the rewards for the deeds of love and kindness we have performed. It's not always easy to be kind or to do kind things. You kind of sort of want some kind of recognition or reward here and now when you do something nice for someone. But just as Jesus told his listeners not to put themselves on display or give themselves airs when they fast, so we must also not remember not to put ourselves on display or give ourselves airs when we do something kind in Jesus' name for his glory. It's okay if no one sees or knows. God knows and God sees, and God will give us our reward in our due time at the right time. Our spiritual treasures can never be taken away from us. They are in God's safekeeping for all time. There will be no identity theft in God's kingdom, someone grabbing all you've amassed and taking off with it. There will be no bankruptcies or market downturns in God's kingdom. When your treasure is in God's grasp, you can rest assured it will never be taken away from you. Jesus knows that sometimes we worry too much about things, about stuff. He came so that we can learn to turn all our worries and woes and blessings, earthly and eternal, over to God for safekeeping, to teach us to put our treasures and our trust in the right place. Spiritual possessions can't be stolen, and no one can come and throw them away. I've always had a fantasy of stumbling across a pirate's hidden stash while walking on the beach. I imagine finding a treasure chest and gasping in awe as I open it, dazzled by everything inside it all, shining and golden and sparkly. I imagine digging my hands deep into that chest and gathering up all the pretty trinkets, rings and things, necklaces and coins and jewelry and gems, a trove of delight and beauty. Who wouldn't want to be the one to find Blackbeard's lost bounty or something like that? Sometimes I imagine stumbling upon the loot from a bank robbery in the woods. That brings up a big moral question. Do you report the find to the authorities, or do you scoop it all up and take it away without saying a thing to anyone? Well, I probably believe we'll never have the opportunity to wrestle with that kind of dilemma, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with fantasizing, and there's nothing wrong with appreciating the things you have in this world. Knowing that they're only temporary should spark you to enjoy and treasure them all the more, to send up your love and gratitude to God for safekeeping. Dedicate your treasures, your family, your friends, your faith to God. It's okay to like your possessions, but don't let them be the be-all and end-all of your life. Dedicate them to God. How can you do that? Well, with your car, be willing to give rides to those who don't have cars. Your house, be willing to house or host other people to give them a meal. Your money, when you tithe to our church, you're storing up treasure in heaven because you're participating in the creation of God's kingdom. How appropriate that we are accepting offerings for Week of Compassion this week. Week of Compassion certainly knows about how to help those in need. Week of Compassion believes when we invest in certain charitable causes and people, our hearts will expand to care for them more deeply. We see how much good is done, and it makes us want to do more and more. That's another way to store up treasure in heaven, to take care of God's children and God's creation, to value something besides our earthly possessions, to realize that from out of our abundant blessings, we are called to give to and to help others who don't have what we have or who don't have as much as we have. It's an amazing paradox that the more you give in God's name to God's causes, the more you have. Sometimes I wonder what I will grab in case of fire. Here in Ruidoso, a wildfire is a very real possibility. I know the evacuation route. I've been advised to have a bag or suitcase ready to throw in my car in case I have to flee a fire, or at least I should get a fireproof lockbox for important documents. What would I put in that bag or that box? What are the most important things I would want to save from the flames? Precious pictures? All those manuscripts in my writing room? Winston, of course. So what do I have that could be deemed irreplaceable? What is indispensable? What would I need to have with me if I had to find shelter elsewhere and start anew. It's daunting to think about having to start all over again from scratch, and the answer is different from everyone. What can you leave to the flames without missing it and agonizing over it later? This Lenten season, think about what you treasure. Think about how you can increase your kindness and your gratitude. The literal translation of what Jesus advises is do not treasure up treasures. Treasure up the right treasures, those spiritual treasures that will always shine, always glow, always warm your heart, and God's heart as well. God sees your dedication and devotion. God made a promise to reward you for that, and God keeps all the promises God makes. God promised to send us a Savior, didn't he? Someone who gave up the treasure and position he had in heaven to come here to this earth and be with us. Put the treasure of your heart in heaven. As we continue our Lenten journey, we think about the things we've given up, a food, a habit, a show, an attitude, and we realize how very blessed we are to be the treasure of God's heart. Let us pray. God, we have received from you the greatest treasure of all, a loving Savior who has come to be with us and to lead us and love us. Show us ways that we can use all the goodness, all the treasure you have given us to build up a future fund of faith and kindness in your coming kingdom. As we continue our journey through Lent, make us aware of the things we need to cast aside and help us take up those habits that will endear us to you. We are your treasure, and we place ourselves, heart and soul, into your loving care. Amen.
Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great.